Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we gather together this morning to worship, that Thou wilt still our anxieties, that Thou wilt calm our troubles, and that we might indeed find rest and security in Thee, that we might go forth strengthened and encouraged to be better Christians the rest of this day and week. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the second chapter of Hosea, beginning with verse 12 and reading through the 17th verse. I will ravage the vines and the fig trees, God says, which she says are the fee with which her lovers have hired her, and turn them into jungles where wild beasts shall feed. I will put a stop to her merrymaking, her pilgrimage and new moon, her Sabbath and festival. I will punish her for the holy days when she burnt sacrifices to the Balaam, when she decked herself with earrings and necklaces, ran after her lovers and forgot me. This is the very word of the Lord. But now, listen, I will woo her. I will go with her into the wilderness and comfort her. There I will restore her vineyard, turning the valley of Achor into the door of hope. And there she will answer as in her youth when she came up out of Egypt. On that day she shall call me my husband and shall no more call me my Baal. And I will wipe from her lips the very names of the Balaam. Never again shall their names be heard. This is the very word of the Lord. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his holy word. I call your special attention this morning to the 15th verse of the second chapter. There I will restore her vineyard, turning the valley of Achor into the gate of hope. As you know, there is a historical background to this reference. It is a wilderness event that Hosea is thinking of to be repeated after Israel repents and comes back to worshiping Yahweh. The Achor, or the valley of Achor, is a fertile valley north of Jericho and a key to the possession of Palestine. After Jericho fell and before the capture of the central range, the Israelites had to pass through the door or pass of Achor to the upper opening of vineyards, grain fields, and blue hills beyond. They fought against their enemies at Ai, and for various reasons, including the reason that Achan captured spoils as against the commandments of God, they were defeated and suffered grievous losses. They dubbed that pass a Kero, or Koro, troubling, the valley of troubling. But Hosea says that God says, there I will restore her vineyard, turning the valley of Achor into the God of hope. There is such a thing as the national valley of Achor. There is also a personal valley of Achor. And there is also a universal valley of Achor. The national valley of Achor was well known in Hosea's day. We remember the history. Ahab had been a confident king, but there was trouble with Assyria, and he was slain in 850 B.C. There was the revolution of Jehu in 842 B.C., the obliteration of the house of Ahab and the pagan rites. Israel was almost, in fact, extinguished during the Assyrian wars from 842 to 800 B.C. Then Jehoash became king and because of the Assyrian defeat of Syrian power and of Egyptian power, Israel rises again. Jehoash himself, in fact, defeated the Syrians also. Then came the reign of Jeroboam II, 786 to 742 B.C., when there was, one commentator has said, an open door of opportunity in which Israel reached a peak of prosperity, power, and wealth. But at the same time, there was tremendous social evil, dire poverty in the lower classes. Wealth was being secured by crime. The aristocrats were pitted against the poor. The women were class or caste crazy. The courts were corrupt. Leaders were found who indulged in crime. There was land grabbing, and Amos said, licentiousness and drunkenness on all sides. There was, Amos said, referring to the same time, a famine of the word of God in the land. There were apparently religious abuses, an unholy coalition of religion and wickedness. This is the national Valley of Achor, which forms the background to Hosea's reference. The meaning of the National Valley of Achor and of the situation in Israel at the time of Amos and Hosea is that trouble is an inevitable consequence of human transgression and lies. We do not break the laws of God as much as we break ourselves upon the laws of God. But God still speaks to Israel. God will not leave Israel alone in the valley of suffering and defeat, but will walk with her again, speak lovingly to her, and the valley of Achor will open as the door of life of a greater usefulness and breadth. Thus, Israel's valley of Achor became for humanity, through the Messiah ultimately, a door of everlasting hope. But Hosea had his own personal valley of Achor too. We know his situation. Outside there was warring against the Assyrians and troubled times. Hosea in his book talks about the times in which he lived and tried to solve his own personal problems as he felt God wanted him to solve them. Ephraim was like a silly dove, depending on humanistic diplomacy to save it. Their diplomacy, Hosea says in the 12th chapter, was built on craftiness and military strength. And inside the nation itself, there was decline and fall. Hosea talks about social and moral and spiritual decay in which he lived during his time. He says, Israel behaves like a deceitful bull. It is unreliable that Israel sows the wind and will reap the whirlwind, that Israel has gone to the Baalim rather than worshiping God, that Israel is smitten and dried up, bearing no fruit. The cry of Israel, the prophets witness against Israel, yet, he says in 7:10, they do not return to the Lord their God. They are one-sided in their development, a cake not turned, and their life is marked by unconscious spiritual decay, gray hairs on his head, yet he knoweth it not. This is why the King James puts it. Israel then was a degenerate vine. But Hosea faced in this situation his own personal valley of Achor. He says in the first chapter, this is the beginning of the Lord's message by Hosea. He said, that is, the Lord said to Hosea, go take a wanton woman for your wife and get children of her wantonness. For like a wanton, this land is unfaithful to the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, a worthless woman, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, call him Jezreel, that is, God shall sow. For in a little while I will punish the line of Jehu for the blood shed in Jezreel, and put an end to the kingdom of Israel. On that day I will break Israel's bow in the vale of Jezreel. She conceived again and bore a daughter, and the Lord said to Uzziah, call her Lo-Ruhamah, not my Lord, for I will never again show love to Israel, never again forgive them. After weaning her, she conceived and bore a son, and the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, not my people, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Hosea loved a faithless wife and named his children after his own valley of Achor. Judgment coming, God will sow, yet a little while, the name of his first child. Not pitied, the name of the second, not my people, the name of the third. Hosea loved his wife like God loved Israel, but Gomer, like Israel, kept going astray and worshiping pagan gods and not being faithful to Jehovah. We learn a lot about Hosea's valley of Achor. Sin is an inward and not just an outward act. Love is a betrayal and a sin. The betrayal of love, that is a sin. The betrayal of love is the breach of the conjugal tie, but it also is rebellion against God. We learn from Hosea's verses that there is spiritual adultery and infidelity, that sin is a vital transgression within one's heart and will, that sin begins inwardly and later shows in action, that sin is a withholding of that worship and stewardship which is due to God, that sin comes in different types of dress, the prodigal son, the elder brother, the sin of self-indulgence or self-pride, but that the deepest is rebellion, unfaithfulness against God. Sin, then, Hosea says, is always a breach of personal relations with God, and secondly, of personal relations with man. We learn also something else about Hosea's valley of Achor. We know that there is a door of hope that follows upon the valley of troubling. For there is a universal valley of Achor too. And there is a universal door of hope that lies at the end of that valley. For Hosea prophesies about God forgiving Israel like he continually forgave his wife for her unfaithfulness to him. He says in the 11th chapter, verses 8 and 10, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I surrender you, Israel? How can I make you like Admah or treat you as Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. My remorse kindles already. I will not let loose my fury. I will not turn round and destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst. I will not come with threat like a roaring lion. So we know that God's mercy is always there. We know that God's love is a forgiving love, that God's mercy is a forgiving mercy. We know that God suffers and carries an inner cross, that at the heart of God there is a cross. As I sat with a man Sunday afternoon who had only recently found that he had a terminal form of cancer, who only retired from his business a year ago, I tried to share with him as best I could, as he bore up with the news as best he could, what it meant to say that the door of hope lies at the end of the valley of troubling, that God is a God of mercy and compassion and love, and that He suffers with us, that He knows our pain, that He knows the pain of others, and that He bears His own pain in His own heart, and therefore understands ours. Go on loving Gomer, God said to Hosea. Go on loving Gomer. Go on being faithful to her. Go on having mercy on her. Go on seeking after her. Go on running down the road to meet her as she comes back from her places of sin. The valley of Achor runs through the world. Trouble is the inevitable consequence of existence. Trouble is what God bears in His heart, for He is the door of hope. The Son of Man came to give His life a ransom for many. Truly He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. With His stripes we are all healed. On the cross Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Jesus' valley of troubling issued into victory too. Behold, the angel said, the tomb was empty. Behold, the place where He lay, He is not here, He has risen. At the end of World War II, in a hospital in France, an unknown patient, an unknown poet, scribbled on those dusty walls of that makeshift war hospital a poem with two stanzas go like this. The cry of man's anguish went up to God, Lord, take away pain. The shadow that darkens the world Thou hast made, the close coiling chain that strangles the heart, the burden that weighs on the wings that would soar. Lord, take away pain from the world Thou hast made, that it may love Thee the more. Then answered the Lord to the cry of the world, Shall I take away pain? And with it the power of the soul to endure, made strong by the strain. Shall I take away peace that knits heart to heart and sacrifice high? Shall I take away love that redeems with a price and smiles with its loss? Can you spare from your lives that would cling unto mine the Christ on the cross? Can you spare from your lives that would cling unto mine the Christ on the cross? Our Heavenly Father, help us in our times of troubling to look upward and onward to the door of hope, who is Jesus Christ the Messiah, and who walks with us through our times of troubling. In our national valley of Achor, in our personal valley of Achor, and with regard to the universal valley of Achor that runs through the world, help us to find in Thee our succor and our strength, our comfort and our guide, and most of all our Redeemer and our Atoner. For we ask it in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.